The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
In 54 minutes from now, across all time zones, you want to make sure you know exactly where your kids are. Are your kids in school? National School Walkout has been organized for today, exactly 1 month after Parkland, Florida school shooting, to protest guns and gun violence. Hundreds, possibly thousands, of kids all over the country are expected to take part. So how does something like this get organized? Because I've organized events before, and it's tough and expensive. Was it David Hogg and the Merry Band of Underage Gun Control Experts? For the first time in a month, they actually didn't have anything to do with it. Maybe you've given your consent for your kids to participate today. Maybe you haven't. But I thought it was both relevant and important for you to know, as a parent, who put all of this in motion. Everything going down today was set up and organized by the Women's March. Now, the Brain Trust behind the Women's March first began organizing today's walkout on February 16th. And they've been hard at work organizing for weeks to make sure that today's student protest goes off without a hitch. Let's just call them community organizers. They don't give a damn about school safety. Their leaders and honorary co-chairs only care about pushing their own agenda. They also think it's both relevant and important for you to know why some of these people are who they are and what they believe. And what's behind the Women's March? You want to know what they stand for? Well, I would. I mean, if my children were participating in this, I would want to know. Linda Sarsour, Carmen Perez, Tamika Mallory. They all have two things in common. They're co-chairs of the Women's Man, and they also have a certain special friend, Louis Farrakhan. Now, we can tell you who Louis Farrakhan is and how much of a nut he is. But if you're curious about his ideology, all you need to do is hear the climax of his recent speech at the annual Nation of Islam gathering. And he said, quote, white folks are going down. Satan, that's us, going down. And Farrakhan, by God's grace, has pulled the cover off that satanic Jew. And I'm here to say your time is up. That's end quote. By the way, Louis Farrakhan has not lost his position on Twitter. There's no hate speech there. Now, that's the ideology that the most powerful organizers in the Women March are associated with and friendly with. But we're just getting started. The list of honorary co-chairs at the original Women's March on Washington, D.C. reads like a list of who's who's of radical. You have Angela Davis. She was the leader in the Communist Party USA during the 1960s. You have Dolores Huerta, who is a radical socialist that came to prominence organizing the United Farm Workers with Cesar Chavez. She also participated in the communist-organized Women's Strike for Peace. She's also a big fan of Hugo Chavez. By the way, anybody who's a big fan of Hugo Chavez, how's that working out for you? Are you, maybe you can't hear me because I'm sure you're down there helping the people. The average person has lost 25 pounds, not because they're on a diet, but because they're starving to death. How's that working out for you? Also, Harry Belafonte, another honorary co-chair with some interesting statements, once called Colin Powell a house slave, compared Powell and Condoleezza Rice to Jews working for the Nazis. Now, these are the people that are either directly responsible for or associated with the march that your kids may be participating in today. If your kid participated, you need to sit down with them today and talk to them about how they're being used as a useful idiot. Make sure that you teach them the history of useful idiots and how communists always use them. And they always start with the youth. Make no mistake, this is about a radical, radical agenda. This has nothing to do with common sense gun control.
It's Wednesday, March 14th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Man, I'm going to do a monologue tonight on television that is a look back at history and to show you what exactly is happening to the West and how we are being dismantled just like we dismantled the East, especially in the 1980s. All of the same tactics are being used, and they're being used, and we are blind to what is happening. And if we don't start pulling together and we don't start rejecting the radicals on both sides, those who are in the conservative movement that are excusing Russia and Putin, and I'm not talking about anything with Trump, those who are sticking up and saying, oh, Putin's a good guy. Putin is a very bad man. Russia is our enemy. The Cold War is on times 10. And then on the other side, those on the Democrats, there was a story because of the Pennsylvania thing. Is the rise of the moderate conservative Democrat, is it happening again? No. No, they're run by radicals. And I'm sorry, I know it seems like it's crazy. Oh, they're, you know, just communists. Ooh, communists, they're so scary. There's no communists anymore. Yes, there are. Democratic Socialist Party of America, the Democratic Socialist, the Communist Party, it actually still exists. There are those radicals that still believe in that nonsense. You may not, but they do. And they're choking the life out of the Democratic Party. How many liberal Democrats who consider themselves, you know, the Jack Kennedy Democrat? Do they even exist anymore? People say they don't. I believe they do. They're just asleep. They just have bought into this. Oh, come on. It's the Clintons. Have you listened to Hillary Clinton lately? Have you heard what she's saying overseas? Have you heard what she's calling the average person in America that didn't want to vote for her? I know a lot of Democrats that didn't want to vote for her. A lot. They didn't want to vote for her because they felt she was corrupt. They felt she was completely out of touch. The Democrats are losing votes now. They're losing steam, you know, with white Americans. Why do you suppose that is? Because everything you say about America in the center of the country, it sounds like you hate us. I'm for the working man. Really? Are you? I'm for the women. Are you? Really? Except for those women who just listen to their husband and they're so weak and pathetic that their husband or their boss convinced them to vote against you because just a few days before the election, Comey came out and said, yeah, it looks like there is something here we need to look at. Oh, and so they were just, I don't know what to do now. She might go to jail. Please, Mr. Boss. I'm just a stupid typist. What do I do?
Well, you can't vote for her. She's going to prison.
Oh, is she?
Yes, she is. You should vote for Trump.
Okay.
My gosh, that's your statement about what women are today? Holy cow. Women should be insulted by that. Many are. They have been taken over by a radical agenda. And it is the same thing that I believe CPAC was doing. CPAC is like, well, you know, let's just bring them in. Just bring them in. I mean, they're not so radical. And, you know, they agree with us on this. I don't care. I don't care if I agree with you know, with the Nazis, that the Audubon's pretty good. I like the Audubon. I don't really care. Everything else about them, really bad.
Well, you know, I agree that, you know, we do need a strong military.
Yeah, it's the Nazis. I don't care what I agree with them on, because on balance, the things I don't agree with them on is bigger. So I don't bring them into the party. Same with the communists. I don't bring them into the party. I don't bring the radicals. I don't bring the people who say burn it all down. I don't bring them into the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. When I look at somebody like Joe Lieberman, who's a common sense guy and who was your vice presidential candidate, who 4 years later said, there is no place for me in this party, I'm leaving, and spoke at the Republican Party convention. When that happens, I think as a Democrat, I say, wait a minute, what does he know that I don't know? What's really happening? They've eaten you. Now, if you're for freedom of speech, meaning the speech that I like, if that's what you're for, then I got a couple of parties for you. If you're for just silencing everyone who disagrees with you, I know who you can vote for. But if you think that's not America, that's not who we are. That's not who we are. If you're for xenophobia, all foreigners are bad, I know who you can vote for. If you're for, wait a minute, I think we just need to know who's coming in here. I think we should watch all of our borders, and I think we should figure out who's here, and I think we should make sure that it's all legal and that we're not getting the murderers and MS-13 coming in. But I don't hate foreigners. Okay, well, I can agree with you. But if I think all foreigners are bad, I'm not going to hang out with you. No matter how much juice you can give us. The Democrats and the Republicans are on the early road, but the Democrats did this back in the 80s and it destroyed them. We're now seeing the fruits. And it's beginning to happen with the Republicans. And we're going to be able to have a very clear understanding of who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. On the left and the right, for those who stand with Vladimir Putin. Theresa May had enough of Vladimir Putin coming in and killing people in her country. Now, last week, Russia, using a, what was the name of this toxin, this nerve agent? What was it?
Rovichok, I believe.
Rovichok. It's only made in the Soviet Union, right?
Only made.
Okay. So they used this, and they used it for a reason. They wanted to make sure everybody knew, well, this is us. And how do you know it's us? Because it's only made by us. They went and they were trying to kill a spy, a former spy. And they sneak this chemical agent in, and they hospitalize 21 people, many of them in critical condition. Don't know if anybody, we don't know how many are going to be killed because of this nerve agent. It is more toxic than VX gas. It had to have come in through some sort of a diplomatic pouch.
10 times as toxic as VX.
Okay, but only 10. Thank you, Jason. Okay, I want to talk to you about that. I want to take a quick break, and I want to talk to you. Because you're going to be able to see, we're going to separate the men from the boys here soon, right now. Because Vladimir Putin is saying, oh, you're just telling fairy tales. That's not us. And you don't threaten a nuclear power. We are on the verge. We are in a more precarious place than I have felt we have been at with the Soviet Union since Reagan and perhaps since the 1960s. We are on the verge of World War III. We told you that that was coming, and we told you that it would happen with Russia. If you've been following us, we've been talking about this for years. Destabilize destabilize the Middle East, then destabilize Europe, the communists, the anarchists, and the Islamists will work together to destabilize the Western world and collapse it. I think we're at the point to where they think they're strong enough to collapse it. And quite honestly, if you don't understand that Russia and Putin are really bad actors, and you're seeing people who are, they're just making this up about Russia, they're not so bad, you're a problem. You're a problem. You need to do a little reading and a little research.
And you separated this earlier, but it's not about any election thing.
Nothing.
It's not about that.
Nothing. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with any. It has more to do, honestly, with the Democrats who have brought all these radicals into their own party. But the Republicans are starting to do it, too.
But I mean, our closest ally had 21 people go to the hospital because of a chemical weapons attack by a foreign power.
Yeah.
This is not some silly thing that you blow off because, well, the Democrats are doing it, or you see someone, you know, your liberal friend on Twitter keeps saying the word Russia. Just because they're saying the word Russia doesn't mean that this stuff isn't real.
Yeah, we're going to talk to you about it and give you the lowdown here in just a second. All right, every business needs great people, and we have a better way for you to find them if you're hiring. Something better than posting your job online and just praying that the right people will see it. It's ZipRecruiter. They knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. It learns what you're looking for, and then ZipRecruiter identifies the people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job. And this is why 80% of the people who use ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in the first day. ZipRecruiter, by the way, just doesn't stop there. They even spotlight and highlight the strongest applications that you receive so you don't miss the person that you should be hiring. ZipRecruiter, this is how you find the next great hire. ZipRecruiter, find out today why it's been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Try it out for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So, Vladimir Putin responded yesterday to Theresa May, who said, you know, you stop, you know, this is, she almost said act of war. This is a use of unauthorized weapons on UK soil. Sounded like she was starting to invoke the Article 5 NATO treaty. Putin responded with, don't threaten a nuclear power. You don't have any idea who you're dealing with. Said this is a disinformation campaign of the West, and Theresa May has pulled out the diplomats and frozen the Russian assets in the UK. We'll talk about that here in a second. But first, so you understand, this is not some little deal. This is the only people that make this nerve agent that has hospitalized 21 people. The only ones that made it was the Soviet Union. And the guy who is the co-creator lives now here in America, defected, and is in New Jersey.
Bill Mirzanyanov, yeah, he's an 83-year-old man, co-creator of the nerve agent. Interesting, because he actually wrote a book, defected, wrote a book outing all the illegal chemical weapons that the Soviet Union was producing. And that was one of the weapons that they did not disclose. They didn't disclose that, and they kept it under the wraps. And the reason being is because it was created so that they could actually slip through sanctions like this or inspections, because it combines multiple different, like, actual everyday, like,
manufacturing.
So they could have
brought this on not through a diplomatic pouch, but on a regular airplane?
Well, I guess it's possible, but I would say highly unlikely, because okay, it's more than just the chemical agent. And this is also another heavy indicator that says that a state actor, Russia, was involved with this.
Yeah.
Because just having the chemical is not the biggest thing. It's the delivery to do that. So you have to have some means to hold it, transport it, keep it safe, and release it, which is a delivery agent.
Okay, so this is 10 times more dangerous than VX gas, and it's not made to just kill. It's made to be the most painful death, Is that right?
Another thing the co-creator has said is like, there's no reason to use this. You would just use VX or polonium or something like that. The only reason is because it causes intense, unimaginable pain, is a quote from him, and it's incurable, according to him. So the only reason is to instill fear.
Okay, so there's more on this and the response and what is in the future. We'll get to that here in just a second.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Boy, I do not envy Mike Pompeo. In his first day on the job, we have serious issues heating up with Russia and actions that none of us saw coming. I mean, you pick a fight with a nuclear power and you have very few options. This has been escalated, and there's already talk now about a cyber war that the UK may start to engage. Vladimir Putin knows cyber wars. We're already under a cyber war. This is the kind of stuff World War III, if you count the Cold War, I think you can count it as a world war. We're entering World War IV. But World War I and II were fought with bullets and tanks and planes. World War III or IV is not going to be fought that way. It's going to be fought with ones and zeros. And we know people have already tried to penetrate and ping our power grid, and they've already shown us that they can get in past many of the things in the power grid. I was a little concerned today when they were talking about Jeff Bezos and how the Pentagon is now going to put all of their secret files on the Amazon cloud. You see that? On the Amazon cloud. Oh, okay. Wow, they're better than the Pentagon? Holy cow, what does that say?
I'm glad Amazon's not connected to a major news outlet. I mean, that would
that would be bad, yeah.
You know, the one that the Pentagon Papers are in?
Yeah.
Like, guys, isn't that a weird, that's a strange step?
It is. Yeah, we don't have to have them smuggled out. We'll just download them. So Jason is with us. He is our head of our military intelligence and global strategy department and our head researcher, and has a background in military intelligence and has been watching Russia for a while. So 21 people, I think this is really important. This isn't just like 21 people. Oh, they breathe some gas in and they're really sick. No. There is no cure for this gas.
Well, I mean, a lot of this comes down to personal taste, too. Like, I know you like musicals and I don't.
Yeah.
You know, right. I'm an Eagles fan. Jason, you're a Cowboys fan. Like, people have different preferences. So sure. I don't know what you have to decide for yourself whether you think this would be fun or not.
Okay.
But exposure, either by inhalation or through the skin, leads to muscle spasms, secretion of fluid into the lungs, organ failure, and foaming at the mouth.
Psoriasis?
No. There's no heartbreak of psoriasis that exists with this. And no restless leg syndrome that we know.
Rashes?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I mean, and you're not bleeding from the eyes, right?
No. So this
is not so bad.
So bad.
Yeah.
Listen to this quote from the same guy you were quoting, Jason, who one of the co-creators of this particular chemical weapon launched on the grounds of our, you know, best ally. Antidotes exist, but what does an antidote mean? You're saving a person who has been exposed to this gas, but temporarily, not to die at this time, but he will be an invalid for the rest of his life. Mm.
And in great excruciating pain.
Yeah. Jeez.
So 21 citizens of the UK have been hit by this gas that was made and only exists in the former Soviet Union. 21 people. You know, they're in the hospital. They're in critical condition. They're not going to get better. None of them are going to return to their normal life. Even if they get better, they're not. There is no cure for this, which is also another sign that it's Russian. They don't make things with a cure. It's what sets the West apart from the former Soviet Union chemical and biological weapons program. So now Theresa May said on Monday, look, you come up with an explanation of this. Otherwise, there's serious consequences. We were speculating that they would kick out the ambassadors, which is a very big deal. The UK already this morning kicked out 21 ambassadors because Putin said, don't threaten us. You're making this up. Yeah, send it to us. We'll check. But we know it's a lie. It didn't come from us. And don't threaten a nuclear power. You don't know what you're doing. And he said, if you kick out people, we're going to retaliate. You kick out our press. You kick out our spies. You kick out our ambassadors. We'll do the same to you. And then some. Then there was somebody else in the Foreign Office of the UK that started talking about there's a possibility. One of the options on the table is a first strike digital attack. This is getting a lot more serious really fast. Jason, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And if you think back towards the Soviet era, and kind of goes back to what you're saying about, you know, the Cold War, World War One, World War Two, those types of wars. The Soviets actually called the Cold War in the very beginning World War Three. They considered that the next great war. But they specifically said that this would not be a war with bullets. It would not be a war even fought with nukes, even though we were all, you know, rapidly trying to increase our stockpiles of them. They said we were going to fight this war without a single shot fired. And it was going to be completely done using disinformation, using spies, subterfuge, all that. And I mean, frankly, they were very, very successful in that. But now as we move towards this, you know, this new era, with technology, with cyber warfare, everything that we have today, we can move into another war, but, you know, after the Cold War, which is all about cyber warfare. It's all about using tactics like what they did to interfere with the election. Those are just opening salvos. Those are just opening salvos. With the aggressiveness that the Russia is doing now, with how they really just don't seem to care. They just really don't seem to care. They're doing these things and basically laughing in our face. If they're doing that, how more aggressive do you think they're going to be in the digital era? How bad do you think the midterms are going to be? How bad do you think the next presidential election is going to be? And not only for us, but every single NATO country in the world, or any country that they want to turn against the Western alliance.
Can I change the subject for a second? Do you think they have the, for lack of a better term, the scramjet technology for the missiles?
No,
I don't either. I think this is Ronald Reagan's Star Wars play at the end of the American Empire in their eyes, to get us to spend ourselves into oblivion even more. Did you see the video? He released a video, Putin did, over the weekend, apparently, of this missile that can go 10 times the speed of sound. Far as I know, we do not have an alloy that can hold up to that speed. It melts. Everything we have melts. There's nothing that can hold that heat. And they say it can go 10 times as fast the speed of sound and will bypass every single Patriot missile defense or any kind of shield that anybody has. That's pretty intense. And why did he release that this weekend? Why did he say that this weekend?
Yeah, that's a good point. And also to who has this technology, I don't think anyone has it. I think the last time I heard, the Chinese were maybe a little bit ahead of us on this, but we both had not completed it. So I know the Chinese are close. I know that we are very, very close. And I haven't heard a thing about Russia. And let's be honest. Over the past, you know, almost 100 years, Russian technology has all been stolen. They very rarely develop something on their own. It's just true. They stole the atomic weapons. They stole cruise missile technology. All of that stuff. So I highly doubt in this one instance they suddenly leapfrogged the rest of the world and created something that no one else has been able to do before. And really, everyone knows this. It's just, again, it's like using one of the most deadly nerve agents on the planet to kill some poor 60-year-old man. It's all about fear. It's all about manipulation. And he's playing that game to a T.
Can we give a little good news?
Yeah.
Okay, is it time for good news?
Yeah.
All right, because this is positive.
Okay.
Okay, while this is talking about this chemical weapon that, you know, is out there apparently now. While the chemical would take effect almost instantaneously if inhaled, It would work much more slowly, perhaps over a matter of hours, if absorbed through the skin. So we've got a couple of, you know, a few hours if it goes through your skin. And this is where it gets really good for you and me, Glenn. The agent is activated when it comes in contact with water and would be absorbed through the pores, slowed down by subcutaneous fat.
We can America, we're safe.
All you suckers have been going to the gym.
We're going to control the world. The fat shall inherit the earth.
So let me ask one more thing. How serious do you think the move is to freeze Russia's assets? Do we have that verified?
I saw that
on a news report today. To me, that's a pretty big deal.
I think the clarification they said where we see a threat. So it didn't sound like it was all their assets. It's like if they suspect, I guess, some kind of money laundering or something like that. Mm. Who knows? But with Russian
all
banks,
of it.
It's pretty much all of them. It's interesting, though, because London is pretty much the financial hub for all of Europe. And it was kind of funny when it is like during Brexit. They said it's going to crash. You know, it's going to crash the financial system. They're not going to have access to European money. Well, European money is centered in London. That was what was so ridiculous. And people like Daniel Hannan knew that. But they were still trying to make the case that, you know, the entire system was coming down. But so if London wanted to, they could apply some serious pressure to Russian banks because all of it runs through there. That's actually also why you always see so many Russians that are killed in the UK, because all those oligarchs, all those old like KGB spies, they know exactly where they go. All the money they hoarded, they put it in UK banks. So that's why they're always killed in the UK, because they go there to retire or to defect.
Putin's not going to let them squeeze on the banks. It's going to be a very interesting few days.
Here's the quote, by the way. We will freeze Russian state assets wherever we have the evidence that they may be used to threaten the life or property of UK nationals or residents. So that doesn't mean that they're going to freeze all of them, but they're certainly leaving that door open to whatever they want to freeze. Because, I mean, you can make that justification where they may be used to threaten the life of or property of the UK. I mean, that's a pretty wide net.
Jason, will you go do some research for me, and let's see if we can have this ready for Monday. I would like to war game a cyber war. Let's war game. Let's explain, because I don't even know. What does it really mean to get into a cyber war? What's the first volleys, the responses, and what it looks like if it goes serious? Because it's a completely different kind of warfare, and Putin knows it. And a couple of years ago, he's the one who said next war is going to be fought with ones and zeros. And he's been preparing for it. And we've already seen, again, it didn't change the election. What he's been doing is separating us. He's been getting us to yell at each other and hate each other. It's why they were putting out blasts, you know, pro-cop. And at the same time, doing social media pro BLM. They just want us at each other's throats, and it's working. And if we don't find our way to each other, when things get serious, they will be able to crack the West wide open. We also need to remember that what brought down the Soviet Empire was debt. All right, building an emergency food storage plan. Kind of sounds like a good idea right now. We've been talking about it for years, but this is the week to build that foundation. This week, there is a special four-week emergency food supply special happening at My Patriot Supply. It's $198. You buy one for $198 and you get the other one for free. Buy one, get one. Now, these kits by themselves sell for $217. This is $198, but you get it. You get two of them. 4 week foods supply, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for one person in your family, packed in a slimline tote so you can take it anywhere if you need to grab and go. It's a whole month of food that you don't have to worry about. The purchase is limited to two per order, so do it now. Preparewithglenn.com. Preparewithglenn.com. This lasts only this week. Buy one, get one free
4-week emergency food supply, 800-200-7163, or preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So Donald Trump yesterday was in California, and he had a couple of things to say. One, a Trump Space Force. Let's play this cut, please. Here's Donald Trump yesterday.
My new national strategy for space recognizes that space is a warfighting domain, just like the land, air, and sea. We may even have a Space Force. Develop another one. Space Force. We have the Air Force. We'll have the Space Force. We have the Army, the Navy. You know, I was saying it the other day because we're doing a tremendous amount of work in space. I said, maybe we need a new force. We'll call it the Space Force. And I was not really serious. And then I said, what a great idea. Maybe we'll have to do that.
This has actually been going on for, it started a long time ago, mostly in a galaxy far, far away.
No, I don't think so. You know, it's weird because he always goes off script. So that Space Force thing was not written by him. And I think that was written as a response to Vladimir Putin. Oh, you've got that missile? Yeah, we're developing a Space Force. And I'm not sure if he undercut that or not, but that it's interesting that the Space Force was in his script. Also, he said something yesterday about the governor of California. Do we have time to play that real quick?
Criticism from Governor Brown that some of this money might be better spent elsewhere.
Well, I think Governor Brown's done a very poor job running California. They have the highest taxes in the United States. The place is totally out of control. You have sanctuary cities where you have criminals living in the sanctuary cities. And then the mayor of Oakland goes out and notifies when ICE is going in to pick them up. And many of them were criminals with criminal records and very dangerous people. You would say dangerous people. And I think the governor's doing a terrible job running the state of California. And, you know, I have property in California, I will say. I don't think too much about my property anymore, but I have great property in California. The taxes are way, way out of whack.
Yeah.
And
so how does this play in California? I would hope that it plays well, that people are like, yep, that's right. But I'm not sure we see the world the same anymore.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
The mechanical voice with the ironically American accent has gone silent today. This morning, the most famous theoretical scientist and physicist in the world has passed away, Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking is an icon and in many ways an inspiration to me. In many other ways, not so much. He was studying physics at Cambridge. He took his education such a meaningless bother that most of his papers were written the night before they were due. And he would throw away his extra draft and his notes. And his roommate pulled them out of the garbage to save them because he said they were miraculous. Stephen, what are you doing? He said, that's just garbage. He was a partier at college until he fell down the stairs. While at Cambridge, he had been tripping an awful lot, and one day he fell down the stairs, and as he was laying at the bottom of the stairs, he thought, something is wrong. He was diagnosed with ALS, which at the time, I believe, was called Lou Gehrig's disease. He was 22 years old. He was told that he would have no more than a couple of years to live. What ALS does is it just paralyzes the body slowly. He began to move, or began to lose all of his motor skills. He was eventually confined to a wheelchair, and he fell into a deep depression. Thankfully, a professor in his life encouraged him not to let his disease define him. With newfound confidence, he dove back into his work in science and physics. He was able to see the world and see these physics equations in three dimensions in his imagination. Stephen Hawking is the prime example that all life is precious and has meaning. He is also a reminder about how great a time we live. If he would have lived 50 years ago, he would have spent his entire life with people talking to him like this. And how are we feeling today, Mr. Hawking? Would you like me to open up the window? Talking down to him like he was an imbecile. And in his head, trapped. Three-dimensional maps of space and black holes. Now, we know how Margaret Sanger and George Bernard Shaw would view Stephen Hawking. His life didn't have any meaning. His life wasn't worth anything. He had no quality of life. They would have said he was disabled and therefore a burden on society. They would have said, you know, before he goes through all of this pain, before he has to suffer, before he has to put his family through all of this, the doctors believe he has no quality of life and no future, and we should put him down. Isn't it amazing how that struggle is what made Stephen Hawking? Without ALS, he himself said, I don't know who I would have been. He didn't take his studies seriously until he knew he was running out of time. Until he knew, I've been given a gift of life and intelligence, and I've been wasting it. And he began to apply himself. The world is a better place because of Stephen Hawking. Because he chose to live his life to the fullest, despite his crippling disease. He leaves behind now a loving wife, three children, and a legacy unmatched by many, most, and perhaps only eclipsed by Einstein. Agree with him or not, Hawking challenged everything we know. He challenged every perception of the universe. What I like about Stephen Hawking is he said, I believe this is true. And later would come out and be the first to say, I was wrong. He challenged even the things that he fought so hard because he believed they were true. He fought everyone and said, no, prove that it's wrong. I'm telling you, this theory is right. And when somebody, or even him, proved that it was otherwise, he led the charge to say, mm-mm, we don't have that. We don't have that right. The most important thing that Stephen Hawking gave to the world is that no one can define your life by what you look like or what your abilities are. No one can define your life except you. You are the master of your own world and works.
It's Wednesday, March 14th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Really kind of, in some ways, bummed. Stephen Hawking, in some ways, played a big role in my coming of age, if you will, the beginning of my search. He was one of the first people that I started to read when I questioned with boldness even the very existence of God. He and Carl Sagan. And he is, in many ways, a true inspiration of what can be done if you just say, nope, I'm not going to let it beat me. Living life all the way to the end. So in some ways, it's a very sad day. In some ways, it's not. He was if you had seen pictures of him recently, he was sliding downhill quickly. But, man, you want to talk about a guy who fought and fought and fought and fought. Since the 1950s? Late 50s, early 60s? And I just, I every time I think of Stephen Hawking, I think of, thank God for the voice box. Thank God for that device. Think of the torture that would have been for him. I remember my grandfather on my father's side. I was not close to him. And he scared the hell out of me. And he scared me for a couple of reasons. But the main reason was he had had a stroke. And he was right side paralyzed. And so the first time he had a stroke, he had to talk kind of like this. And he would get confused in his language. And I remember being very small. And I remember sitting on the carpet in his living room and looking up at him. And he was trying to tell me something. And he couldn't form any of the words. This is after a second stroke. He couldn't form any of the words. And his eyes welled up. And tears started running down his cheeks. And I probably was six. And I remember thinking, he's trapped in there. I somehow or another, I knew, I could tell that he knew what he wanted to say. He couldn't make his body work. And ever since that day, that's been one of my biggest fears, is being trapped with your mind well and your body trapped, and you can't let anyone know I'm in here. And if it wasn't for technology, that's where Stephen Hawking would have been. Imagine that mind trapped. How many minds before have been trapped like that? How many minds today? How many people that we dismiss because of their communication abilities, do we dismiss because they can't communicate it? My daughter has a really hard time with communication. She has, she has cerebral palsy. She had strokes at birth, and it's her nemesis. She can't communicate. She has a hard time choosing the right words and putting it together. And she's, you know, she always feels like she's just, no, I don't have it right. I don't have it right. This isn't, I don't know how to say it. So frustrating. So frustrating.
I mean, you think about now where we are, because it's not about just people who can't communicate. Now we're talking about people who can communicate. Can communicate well. People with Down syndrome, for example, that we've talked about this week, that can communicate fine. You know, they might not have every single thing going for them the exact same way. Some of their features are better, as we've discussed. They certainly seem happier than a lot of people. But these are people who can actually communicate, can talk back to you, can smile, can have fun, can laugh. And we're celebrating their elimination.
We have a guest on next hour, Nick Vujicic. We've had him on before, about 4 years ago. He's written a new book called Be the Hands and Feet. The ironic part about that is he has no hands and feet. He was born, I believe he was a thalidomide baby, I'm not sure. So he was born and he has kind of very small hands, but they're right at the shoulders, and feet right at the hips. And, so he can't use them. And it's fascinating to watch him. I saw him give a speech where he kind of rolled out on stage, and he inchwormed his way over, to the center of the stage and said, "So I don't have any hands and feet. What's your problem?" And you're kind of like, wow. Wow, I don't think I have any. I don't think I have any at all.
The remote's way over there. That's my big one.
Yeah. I know. I know. That statue is really oppressing me right now, Nick. It's really, man. And how many people today, if you were within the sound of my voice, I want you to hear something. And I want you to just ponder this. You may be your biggest obstacle. You may be your biggest obstacle. You don't know how many people are actually rooting for you. You don't know how many people are praying for you. You don't know how many people think, oh, I wish he would just see who he really is. Because most of us miss who we really are. We get bogged down in our problems, and the truly great people figure that out and go, crap, it's me. It's not the rest of the world. It's actually me. Huh. I never saw that one coming. I thought I was a pretty great guy. I'm causing a lot of my problems. Is today the day that you've been given a second chance? Is today the day that you're supposed to say, you know what? I don't care anymore. I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care really what happens, because it can't get worse than this. I know who I am. I remember the day that I decided not to repeat my mother's ending of her life. My mother was an alcoholic and addicted to prescription drugs. Died when I was 15 years old. And I remember the day I realized I'm going to repeat my mom's life. And then I chose not to. And I was laying on the floor and I got up. And I went to bed. And I wish I could say that the next day was better, but I don't think it was. But I don't remember the next day. I don't remember what I did. I remember it in broad strokes, and I remember that it was hard. But that all becomes a blur. I remember the good things that happened. I remember the struggle, but I remember conquering it slowly. I remember figuring it out slowly. It's so bizarre that if you're a woman, you can understand this, that the greatest pain you may ever feel is having a baby. You're usually screaming at your husband, never touch me again. I mean, if he didn't get the epidural. But the minute you have the child, you're ready to have another one. I mean, maybe not ready to have another one right then, but you forget it immediately. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You just have to get up off the floor and say, what is it that's holding me back besides me? Because no statue in the town square is doing that. ALS ain't doing that, because it didn't hold him back. What is holding me back? Grab onto life, because, man, it is so worth not surviving, living. All right. Imagine taking your car on a 100-day test drive. Imagine moving into a new house for 100 days. I mean, it would still have the showroom stuff in it. You know, it'd still all be staged. You wouldn't have to move all your furniture and unpack all the boxes. But imagine living in a house or anything that, you know, you can't take for 100 days. Spending a third of the year someplace and going, no, it's not right. Well, you've never been able to do that with a mattress. But Casper is doing it because they know you're going to love it. But if you don't, no big deal. You're not out a single dime, and you're not out any. You don't have any hassle because they come and pick it up. But 100 nights, night after night, for you to sleep on a Casper mattress. Now, they do this because, I mean, you're not going to be able to tell. If you've ever purchased a mattress in a store and you really try, I'm going to really lay down for, you know, 10 minutes in my clothes with my shoes on, and I'm really going to think, am I comfortable in this? You can't tell until you're sleeping in it. And you can't even tell if you sleep one night, but it usually takes about a week before you're like, okay, this one works. Casper knows that. Now, Casper has built a mattress with a combination of foams that provide the right pressure relief for alignment and perfectly balanced. It's comfortable. It ships right to your door for free. And if you don't love it, they come and pick it up. Full refund. Nothing to lose. Check it out for 100 nights or go to the mattress store and sleep on something for 20 minutes. No, actually not sleep on it. Just feel uncomfortable like everybody's staring at you for about 10 minutes. Casper.com. It's the new way to buy the greatest mattress you'll ever sleep on. It is Casper.com. Use the promo code Beck. You're going to save $50 on select mattresses. That's promo code Beck at Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply.
Glenn Beck Mercury. Glenn Beck.
All right. So Google and Elon Musk and everybody, they have a new partner. There's somebody lobbying now for the self-driving cars, for those laws to get passed so we can get these self-driving cars on the road.
Someone really encouraged by this new technology.
Yeah.
And I think it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
The liquor industry. The liquor industry is now fully on board with self-driving cars.
Of course they are.
Now, of course, their interest is for the betterment of humanity.
Of course, it's safer.
It's safer. And first of all, no more drunk driving deaths.
No. And you can drink their product while in the car.
You could drink their product while in the car. Mm-hmm. To save a lot of lives.
Well...
Now, it might end some other ones because people are more willing to drink more.
Right.
They think that it's going to boost alcohol sales by as much as $250 billion.
Oh, my gosh. Well, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, I am an alcoholic, so you may have to temper this a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But after a long day's work, you wouldn't mind popping a beer or six?
Oh, believe
me. I'm just saying.
After a long day's work?
Yeah. Going to work.
In the middle of the day. No, it's interesting because we kind of have a real world experiment. This company, I think, in some ways has had a real world experiment in this.
We have?
Yes, because we currently do the show in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to do the show in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in Manhattan, it's basically you're in a world of self-driving cars. No one has a car.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're taking a cab everywhere. You're taking a subway everywhere. You're going home on the train.
Yes.
Okay. So it's much easier to drink. And I drank a lot more in New York than I drink here.
It may not be the self-driving car. It may be New York itself that encourages you to drink.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I'd really be interested to hear from you if your child has come home and said, Mom and Dad, there's a big walkout and I want to participate. How you handled that. Or if you got a note from any of the schools, regarding today's walkout. There are thousands of kids. Now think of this. Think of the feat. There are thousands of kids who have just got out of those hallowed halls of learning.
Oh my gosh.
And walked out in the middle and said, I am not going to take this, I don't take this precious gift of education lightly, but today, yes, I must remove myself from this class for something more important.
It's incredible they can get kids to do that.
It's brave.
It's incredible.
It's brave.
Now look, if you're at Parkland High School, yes, you are in the middle of that situation enough that, you know, this is all you're thinking about all the time, right? If you're in North Dakota walking out of school today, I mean,
sit
let's
out.
Be honest about it.
So
I walked out of school several times back in the day, Glenn. Important protests, such as
Such as,
oh my
like,
gosh. It, well, there are so many of
right.
them. Which
well,
one?
Just give me one. You just give me the one like, that just jumps off the top.
A priority? What's the scale
no,
you
just,
would want to go
I'm
with?
The biggest one biggest or the one you remember? Just
the one I remember the most.
Yes.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, I guess there's so many that I wouldn't want to downplay one of the other ones
right.
that I'm
you
not mentioning.
You did walk out, though, of school.
Many times.
Many times.
Many times I walked out and kept walking until I got to McDonald's.
Really?
Which is
so
a surprise to the audience, I'm sure.
Join the...
Oh, no, I care deeply about the cause.
Right, which
whatever
was...
Whatever it was. Whatever right. it was. It didn't matter which one of the events
right.
I'm talking about, Glenn.
So am I the only one? Maybe it's just my age. Am I the only one that would my parents would have said, what the hell were you doing?
Yeah, but see, everybody went. So it was easy because you had strength in numbers. And I can
maybe,
tell you,
maybe
legitimately, I had absolutely no idea what we were walking out of school for. And honestly, probably were things that I completely disagreed with. But I didn't care because I was out of school and I would have done anything to leave school at any time. That's what you do when you're in school. You try to leave school. If you can leave school without getting in trouble for leaving school, you leave school. That's what you do. Now,
no.
If they punish you, right? If they punish you for
mm-hmm.
leaving school,
mm-hmm.
well, then you might not leave school. Right. The reason why you don't skip school every single day is because you realize you'll get in trouble for it. It's not because you think you're going to learn something or miss out on learning. It's because you're going to get in trouble and you don't want to get in trouble. That's the only reason people go to school. This is breaking news to many people in the world,
no,
I suppose.
I think if I understand you correctly, mm-hmm. you're saying kids don't want to go to school, nor do they appreciate it.
No.
Wow.
It's amazing commentary, right. I know.
But I mean, so you're saying then that these kids don't care, really. Some of them may.
Absolutely.
But a lot of them don't give a flying crap. Well, they're just getting out of school.
When you look at these issues, mm-hmm. you'll find typically, as we've seen even in Parkland, there's a lot of kids that are pro Second Amendment that mm-hmm. are coming out and saying, hey, it's important that we have to protect these rights. You know what that kid in North Dakota is doing that's pro-Second Amendment? Walking out of school. They're all walking out of school because you're telling them it's okay to leave school. That's why they're leaving school. Now, sure, there's some activists that are anti-gun and their parents are anti-gun, and then they're going to walk out and they're going to be anti-gun, at least for the day. And I'm not saying that there's not people who are really... You know, obviously, the closer you are to this, the more real it is.
So let me go to Florida. Kim in Florida. Your eighth
Hi,
grade.
Good morning, Glenn.
How are you?
Hi,
your
good morning, Glenn.
Your eighth grade student is involved?
Their school is doing what's called a walk-in. So they're not leaving campus. They're not allowed to leave campus. They're going into the courtyard. They're going to have 17 minutes of silence. And then the chorus will be singing. My son will be singing because he's in chorus. And it's in memory of the people who lost their lives. I called the school to verify that there was no political anything because I've seen how students can be useful idiots.
Mm.
And they assured me that this is not. They don't want anything political. It's just in memory and to show respect and to have silence. They're singing Kumbaya and...
Oh, my gosh.
I forget this.
literally singing Kumbaya.
But still, that's a fine way to deal with
and,
it, right?
You know, like, and there's probably some teachers who are, like, trying to get these kids quiet for 17 minutes is... I mean, if they'll stand quietly, I'm going to go take a nap in the teacher's room. Thank God they're quiet.
Look, obviously, it's great to show, you know,
respect
and that's, you know, that's real and it's got nothing to do with politics.
Yeah.
And that's a much better way of doing it than letting the kids walk out.
Go ahead.
We asked him at the dinner table last night, what is this for? And all he could say is it was about the shooting in Parkland and the kids that died. So he didn't know the whole realm of what could be involved in a walk-in or a walk-out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make sure that he understood what it was about if he was going to participate, not just follow blindly.
Right.
And they really did say it's just to show respect. It's not a protest in any way, and they would not allow it to be a protest.
Okay. Well, I'd be anxious to hear if that's what, promises kept there on that one. Thanks, Kim. I appreciate it. So you don't want your kids, let's say, you know, walking around, you know, just being a useful idiot. Like, I'm watching on TV in New York a sign that says the NRA KKK, you know.
And then USA, by the way.
And then USA. Yeah.
Don't forget that they're calling the entire country a group of KKK members.
So that's great. I'd be so proud. Tim in Connecticut. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Bitline, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Seemed to be professionally printed, good. Sign, too. That's interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
A student, I guess they just went to the local...
Kinko's.
Kinko's?
Okay, yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm here in Newtown, and the kids, it's cold for them to protest outside, so they're doing it in the gym protest. They're walking in instead of walking out. You know, kids
they're brave.
Connecticut they're brave, yeah. They really want to show their, you know, what they really stand for, what they really believe in. So instead of walking out of school or staying home from school, we go to the gym because we got a snowstorm last night, you know?
So. Right.
Well, I mean, look, again, I think, honestly, like, they're talking about school safety. If you have kids go out in freezing cold temperatures, it's probably not a good idea.
If you have kids leave the school right? premises, even in Florida or Africa,
yeah.
It's not good for safety.
It's also true that being in school is still one of the safest places your child can be.
No, you don't know.
Yes,
no,
statistically, that is accurate.
It's not
true. That doesn't mean we don't protect them. That doesn't mean we don't add security to schools. We don't try to address these specific threats. But, like,
listen,
doing absolutely nothing from where we are still, it's one of the safest places
they can
be.
Did you see all the number of shoes that were put on the Capitol steps yesterday?
Shoes?
You didn't see this?
I did not see anything. I did not see a shoe related.
There were 7,000 shoes that were dropped on the Capitol lawn yesterday. 7,000.
Shoes?
Shoes. Children's shoes, okay? Of all the 7,000 children that are not here. Now, I'd like to go drop the 60 million baby shoes on the front lawn of Planned Parenthood.
Babies largely don't wear shoes, though. I mean, really.
Your baby socks?
Baby socks. More effective.
I'd like to
be more effective.
Well, it may not be more effective, but it'd be more realistic. Baby socks.
I mean, that's a lot of socks.
It's a lot of socks. And that's why I haven't done it yet today.
It's an expensive protest.
Yeah, well, because, you know, you can, all kids, you say to them, hey, let's put 7,000, you know, kids' shoes on the lawn of the Capitol building. And of course, the kids organize that. Like that. You know what I mean? There's no adults involved.
Oh, no.
There's no special interest involved in that. That's just all kid power right there. 7,000 all spread out on the lawn. That's the mind of a 14-year-old and the organizing power of 14-year-olds all across the country. But 60 million baby shoes, that might take a little while. And an adult.
Now, is it true that to organize a protest to honor the kids who have been killed in these attacks, do you have to be on the side of Louis Farrakhan and dislike Jews? Is that something that, because it seems like all of these are done by the Women's March people who are very tied, closely tied to Louis Farrakhan.
No.
And I don't,
no,
you know, I
don't.
Feel like the dislike of Jews really has nothing to do with gun violence or honoring
just because,
children.
Just because you're talking about the 6 or 7 people that are on the board of directors that are with Louis Farrakhan at his latest conference, sat there while he said those horrible things about white people's time is coming.
And Jews are the enemy.
And Jews are the enemy, and they will all be wiped out. Just because they sat through that and you know, and then had photos taken afterwards with Louis Farrakhan, that doesn't mean that.
It doesn't? It doesn't mean that? Because it seems like it would mean that for anyone else. It seems like, I don't know, if you had a Tea Party organizer who sat through speech after speech about how bad Jews are or how bad blacks are. In fact, you've made comparisons on the air to the Holocaust, saying, we got to make sure this doesn't happen again. It looks like it's happening in Iran. And the ADL comes out and criticizes you for it. Now, the ADL has been critical of Farrakhan as well. But it doesn't seem to get any pickup outside of Jake Tapper. He's the only person in the mainstream media who seems to be noticing this and putting any pressure on Democrats who are still, to this day, meeting with Farrakhan.
Well, what's good about this, Stu, is that Twitter's all over Farrakhan. He's never been allowed to have a Twitter feed.
He still has one.
No, because they stop
and
hate.
He tweets things about the Jews all the time.
No.
Seems to be one of his top topics.
No.
It's trending on Lewis's little feed there.
Huh.
Not a fan of Jews. He's not a supporter.
You know what? Twitter was on the walkout. That's what happened. As soon as they get back in, they're going to take care of Louis Farrakhan's Twitter feed. Let me go to Julie in North Carolina. Hello, Julie.
Hi, Glenn and Stu. I want to say I'm very proud of my children for not walking out. My son's number one in his senior class, and some of his AP professors gave them extra credit for actually staying in class and learning. They said they could do more for the children in Florida by showing them how safe it is in school, statistically.
Shut up. Wow. Wait a minute. Hold it just a second. A teacher is giving... America, we may have slipped through another wormhole. A teacher is giving extra credit for staying in class.
Yeah, because he said just the trend, not going against the trend and actually sitting in for what you believe, which is the Second Amendment. And this is his AP European History class professor. He gave them all extra credit for those who wanted to stay in and just didn't go out, just didn't walk out.
Oh, my gosh, Julie,
that's awesome.
That's awesome. I'm moving to North Carolina. Thank you so much. Let me go to Beth in Texas.
Hey, Glenn.
How you doing?
I was telling your screener that when my son was much younger and the Connecticut shooting had just taken place, I had to explain. We were talking. We're very close. I said, tell me, son, that brave principal that threw herself in front of all those kids, how many people do you think would have passed away had she had a firearm? And he held up his hand in a big zero. He's now 15 years old, and it's like to him, we're constantly talking about the gun-free zones. He thinks that the whole thing is just off the charts, nuts. He understands. It's like he just has a complete inherent understanding that that's what's causing all this. You know, we have firearms in the home, and he's just always been taught to be respectful of them. And,
you know, Beth, I have to tell you, I just said to the last person, you know, I'm moving to North Carolina. And then you call up and I realize, oh, yeah, that's why I live in Texas. Thank you so much. God bless you and your son. Paying off a debt can take forever and it piles up fast, but it doesn't have to be this way with American Financing at AmericanFinancing.net. I want you to call American Financing because if you have some equity in your home, you can refinance to consolidate and pay off that debt, and it'll make life a lot easier. Is the right situation? I don't know. But you can call the salary-based mortgage consultants at American Financing. They work for you. They don't work for the bank. They get the same amount of money if you buy a loan or you don't buy a loan. They're representing you. So that's different than most banks. So they're not going to give you something that is not going to be good and best in your interest. So if you're trying to refinance, you want to buy a house, you want to consolidate, American Financing can review your current mortgage, can look at options that may lower your monthly payments, help you achieve a better financial status. And with American Financing, you can get a straightforward and effortless mortgage experience. It's American Financing. Call them now. 800-906-2440. 800-906-2440. It's AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation. NMLS 182334. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
I can't. I'm a little humbled right now by the bravery of so many people. In case you don't know, Viacom, you know, MTV and all of Viacom, they have decided that they are going to shut down next hour in solidarity with the school walkouts. They're going to, all of their stations going dark for 17 minutes.
Powerful.
It is really powerful. That's so brave of them to go dark for 17 minutes. Hey, Stu, by the way, before I forget, I've got a question about tonight's TV show. When is the first commercial break usually on TV?
About 17 minutes after the hour.
Okay, thank you very much. Anyway, Viacom, so brave of you.
Oh my gosh.
To break, you know, you're not going to lose any money because you can make it back in time for that first commercial break, but... Wow.
Well, and it's the important thing is I know MTV too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They will be returning right after the 17 minutes of silence to honor the children, mm-hmm. the high school children they're talking about. With the program 16 and Pregnant, which is going
to
really...
Which would sound like a joke to some.
To some.
To the cynics. But it's not.
But you can flip over to MTV instead and get Catfish, the TV show, which is great.
Not the first 17 minutes.
Not the first, no.
But right after the first commercial break.
Well, you have 17 minutes, then the commercial break.
Right.
Okay. Then right. They'll rejoin the previously scheduled program, either 16 and Pregnant or Catfish.
Oh, man, that's brave of them.
I agree. And I just hope, Glenn, that we can get through today with these students walking out. And I just hope they are not thinking or praying while they're walking out.
No, they're not.
Okay, no thinking or praying going on?
There's no thoughts, no prayers happening.
Okay, good, good.
Because that's useless.
Useless. Thinking and praying is useless.
It's useless. And Viacom, oh man, brave, brave.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
So more bad news about that huge data breach with a major credit bureau. Turns out 2.4 million additional Americans were impacted. Brings the total to only 147.9 million Americans, the largest breach of personal information in history. The original 145 million had their social security numbers impacted. The additional 2.4 had their names and driver's licenses stolen. There are so many threats today with the connected world that we live in, and it takes just one weak link for criminals to get in. Good thing new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect you against threats to your identity and to the devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. If you have a problem, they have agents who will work to fix it. No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses, but new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code BECK for 10% off your first year. That's promo code BECK for an additional 10% off at LifeLock.com.
Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
One of my favorite people in the world is Nick Vujicic. If you have not heard of him, this is going to be a very interesting time for you. Nick is a guy who was born without any arms or legs, hands and feet, and he has a new book out called Be the Hands and Feet. He is one of the more inspiring people I think I have ever met. Hello, Nick. How are you?
Hi, Glenn. So good to see your
face.
Good
to see you.
Love you sitting at this table. Thanks for having me on your radio show.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
so, first of all, let's kind of catch up with you. For anybody who doesn't know you, tell me your story quickly.
Quickly, I was born in Melbourne, Australia, without limbs. Lady Gaga don't know why I was born this way. Many people had their own theories and philosophies of life, including a woman who said that, well, in my previous life, reincarnation, I was a bad boy and now I'm getting punished. But now that I'm a good boy, I'll come back in my next life and be a butterfly. And I'm thinking, she don't know how many butterflies I killed in my wheelchair. I don't want to be a butterfly. Being isolated at times, very loving home, though. Went to mainstream school. I was the first disabled child to go to the mainstream school system of Australia in 1989, and was excelling in mathematics because that was the only way that I could compete with everyone. But I really had depression and fears about my future. Attempted suicide at age 10 because of bullying predominantly at school.
Can you tell me how you tried to do that?
Yeah, I went to the bathtub and I told my dad I just want to relax in a bathtub of 4 inches, 5 inches of water, and I turned over to let the breath out. But I couldn't go through with it, not because it was physical limitations, but because I didn't want to leave my parents with that pain, and I pictured my parents crying at my grave, so I did not go through with that by the grace of God.
Tell me the depth there of despair, of losing hope.
You know, it was as if I never had it. It's not about losing hope. It's actually losing all strength to go on just because of the bleak and broken future that I could see ahead. I felt like I was a burden to my parents. I convinced myself I'd never get married, never be happy, never be a father, never find a job, just be a burden to everyone around me. I thought even if I got married, I can't even hold my wife's hand. Even if I had kids, I can't even hold my kids when they're crying. Today, I have my wife. Her name is Kane. She's a rock star. She's a superstar. She's amazing. She's beautiful.
She
6 years of marriage now.
Yeah. I think you had just gotten married the last time I saw you.
That's right. Yeah.
And congratulations on your twins.
Thank you, Glenn. Yeah, so we have two boys, Kyoshi and Dayan, 5 and 2.5 years old. And we got now two twin girls, Olivia and Ali. They're about 10 weeks old right now.
Okay. So,
oh, and I wanted to say this. I don't need to hold my wife's hand. I just need to hold her heart, and you don't need hands for that. And when my boys cry, I can't put my arms around them, but they put their arms around me.
So you were convinced that you would be a burden on everyone. And that's kind of the way the world is working right now, especially with anybody with any kind of disability. We were talking off the air that this is a providential week to have you come in.
It is.
Because I have been truly sleepless in the last few nights about what's happening with the Washington Post coming out saying, you know, if you have Down syndrome, you know, it's very brave to abort them because we're curing Down syndrome.
Goodness gracious.
By killing them. Of course, they're not saying killing, but that's what they mean. They have, you know, the responses are people with Down syndrome have no quality of life, and they're a burden on families. And I think, Nick, quite honestly, if we as a society can embrace killing the most angelic, I mean, the most angelic.
I can't agree with you more.
Then who won't we kill?
You know what? I've been interviewed all week, Glenn. All week. You know I've been on the road.
Yes.
For my book and all that stuff. And the question that you know, because we talk about how when I was in Russia a couple years ago, there was a petition signed because I was famous in Russia overnight preaching the gospel on mainstream TV. And some editor from a publication in Russia said, no disabled person should get married, should reproduce, and should ever have a stage and ever be on TV. 90,000 people signed that petition. And then a million people got angry and that guy got fired. I wonder if this person will ever...
No.
Never. You know never. That. Because, well, it's just an opinion. Well, this other guy also had the opinion. And so the idea here is, well, how many... more of these articles will actually be publicized without us actually saying, hey, wait a second, let's really, really analyze this. And it's just unfair.
It's amazing.
It's unfair.
It's amazing to me because...
How are we different from the Russians, Glenn?
We're not.
Everyone's how are we, back you know, at the Russians. I'm Yugoslav, and I love the Soviet area, and I love the Slavic region, and they have a lot of improvement coming. Ukraine just changed their law, Glenn. After I spoke to the government, just to let you know, they're allowing special needs children to go to school for the first time. There's improvement over there.
Wow.
But you come home here and you get so discouraged and stuff like this.
You know, it's remarkable to me that you wouldn't, if we had this, if you would have been seen in utero, you'd be gone. If Stephen Hawking would have been able to be tested in utero, he'd be gone. Stephen Hawking passed away today. He's
today. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. One of the most remarkable men to ever live.
Wow.
And, you know, when you look at the Nazi era, the people who voted for Hitler, think of this. When he started his T4 program to wipe out, would have killed you, would have killed my daughter, would have killed anybody with Down syndrome. When they found out that they were gassing those children, the people who voted for Hitler rose up and said, no more, no more. You can't do that. We're just letting it go. We're not rising up. That's terrifying.
You're right. You're right. And there's many fronts on any fight that you can choose, right? And for me, Glenn, you know I'm pro-life. You know I'm all with you. I'll wing you. I'll be your wingman on this. No problem. We'll do whatever we can to do. But the bottom line, though, is I understand the opposition in trying, or the challenge, let's say, in trying to convince people of changing their mind. But you know what also gets me just a little bit angry? Other people who actually say we're Christian and we allow 111,000 7.8-year-old children in America still waiting for an adopted home. 100,000 churches spends billions of dollars on buildings, and we're not the hands and feet. We're claiming Jesus as Lord. Do you know how many teenagers, they think they're Christian because they go to church on Sunday, then they tease someone at school on Monday? Mm-hmm. 40% of the reason for teenage suicide in America is because of bullying at school. We really got to do an analysis of ourselves. If we really are the salt and light, there's 400,000 foster kids waiting. And they, anyway, in the foster adoption industry. You know,
we were just talking about this last week. Yeah. Last week, we were talking about how Christians, I don't know what it means to be a Christian anymore. Because if this is what it means to be a Christian, it makes literally statistically no difference in the world. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested.
Here's a contrast, ready? In Islam, in the Quran, they actually say that it's against Allah that you adopt, because you can never love somebody that's not your blood like you love someone that is your blood.
Holy cow.
So how different are we to Islam? Because so many people think, well, how can I love somebody as much as I love my own? And it's not about that. It's just addressing the biggest questions and fears that people have and saying, hey, look, don't just sit and listen to the prosperity gospel from the pews. You know, surrender your life to Jesus. And then guess what happens? The next paragraph. What do you want God to do for you today? Let's believe and I'll stand with you. Are you kidding me? We're not here to receive. We're here to serve. The prosperity gospel will end, Glenn, in 10 years from now when 35% of all jobs in America are taken by robots. How dare any prosperity preaching preacher will talk about prosperity when a third of their men have no job. It's time to realize, stop waiting on God to do something, and God is waiting on you to do something. I'm all for praying for revival in our country, Glenn, a million people trying to gather in Washington, D.C. But what if a million people actually learned how to preach the gospel? And we preach the gospel to 20 people in a day. You can reach the whole country of America in 16 days. Is it really that hard?
No.
It's not.
It's not.
100,000, you know, adoption, is it really that hard?
It's not.
It's not.
I was at a venture capitalist conference, and I had to speak, and it was all Silicon Valley.
Uh-huh.
And guy gets up, and he's an atheist, one of the biggest venture capitalists in the world. And he gets up, and he said, I had news for you. What's coming is a loss of meaning. He said, because the unemployment rate, he said, and this is important, I think, for people to understand. We now look at unemployment and say, oh, can we get it close to zero? Silicon Valley, with the way we're working now, they're the opposite. They're saying, let's get it 100% unemployment so you can do what you want to do. Which is a noble thing. However, it also removes meaning for a lot of people who find meaning in their jobs. And he said, so we're going to have a lot of meaningless. He said, but you know who's going to be, you know who's going to conquer that? People who have actual faith.
Wow.
Because people who have actual faith find meaning in good works. Is that crazy?
Wow. Wow.
And we're not doing it.
Wow.
And we have to.
Yes.
Because it'll be the only thing, we will be the ones that can lead the world into meaning and into the
hope.
The hope of there is going to be, it's going to be okay.
Yep.
So, Nick.
Glenn, I love you.
I know.
We got to spend more time together, bro.
I know.
I'm out here in Dallas quite a lot. We got a second home here.
I know. You know, you don't ever stop by.
I'm going to stop by.
Yeah. The name of the book is Be the Hands of Feet, Living Out God's Love for All of His Children. I want to talk a little bit more about the book and the your adventures. And we're going to also spend some time on television tonight.
Good.
So make sure you join us. We'll be back in just a second. Simply Safe is the home security company that I've worked with since they had 10 employees. Now they're the fastest growing home security company in the nation. 2 million people are protected in their home and business with Simply Safe. They've just released their brand new system. It's the all new Simply Safe, completely rebuilt and redesigned. It's smarter. It is much, much smaller. It has worked out some of the things like what happens if the power goes down. There's downed Wi-Fi, you know, cut landlines, et cetera, et cetera. The all new Simply Safe, redesigned to be practically invisible for you, but anybody who comes into your house will hear it and will also be captured because it when there's a break-in or a breach, it takes a photograph of exactly who's coming in. What's truly remarkable, after all the years of research and the upgrades to this, it's still the same great, fair, and honest price. 24/7 protection is only $14.99 a month, and there is no contract. You own the system. It's smaller, faster, and stronger than anything before. Supply is limited, so go to simplysafebeck.com as they roll this out. Simplysafebeck.com. Protect your home and your family. Simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So, Nick, let's talk a little bit, because, you know, you talk in your book about how we need to share the gospel. However, I think people, because of what we were just talking about,
yeah,
people are tired of people talking about the gospel because, you know, doesn't make a difference. We're going to church, but we're living a hypocritical life. We're no different than
right.
everybody else.
Right. And so the bottom line is, when me and his evangelists go 68 countries, meet 18 presidents, speak in front of 10 governments, and in front of billionaires to sex slaves and orphans, there are commonalities of why people don't believe in a loving God. And one of them, rightly said, is that I'm not going to become a Christian because I know Christians.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bumper sticker said, "Dear Lord, save me from thy followers."
Yeah.
And you know, it's the truth. That's one of the things. And so that's when we point the finger at ourselves and make sure that how we live shows it. You know, if you're a teenager and you love Jesus, then you're not sexually active until marriage, period, no matter what you feel. And we've got to hand the truth with love and love with the truth. And the bottom line is, when you put God in the throne of your life, And you realize his plan and his way is best, and money, drugs, sex, alcohol, pornography, fame and fortune, and where this country is going, where this world is going, we know that the only hope is in Jesus Christ. That's one of the top seven reasons, Glenn, why people don't come to church. Another one is because they think church is a business. The other ones, though...
Can you argue that, though?
You know what? I have the least amount of argument for that point out of seven. Yeah?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm you know, pretty firm to the churches in making sure that the center of ministry isn't your gifts. The center of ministry is the gospel. And I feel like we as Americans are absolutely ignoring the fact that the prosperity gospel started in America and it's absolutely devastated Latin America and Africa. And the pinnacle of growth and beauty in the church of those continents was when the church met the needs of the people.
Isn't that the point? I mean, I have this argument with people all the time, you know, about faith and works. No, all I have to do is have faith in Jesus and then I'm saved. Okay, I got it. However, you can't tell me that you've been saved if your works aren't his works.
That's right.
If it hasn't changed you
in
fundamental,
yes,
easy ways,
yes,
of the way you live your life, then sorry, you don't really buy into it.
Yeah, I tell the teenagers, if you tease someone at school on Monday, I don't think you're a Christian because you have no idea what the love of God is. You know, and so the other things that I write about in my Be the Hands and Feet book is, how do you talk to somebody who's an atheist who says, well, science explains everything? And I, you know, present the points where witchcraft, voodoo, black magic, science can't explain it, but man, it's real. And I'm not an atheist because I've seen an angel. I'm not an atheist because I've seen demons. And so when you realize how you can actually come back with knowledge and points and saying, well, how can a loving God let pain be in the world? There's a simple explanation for it. And people don't share about their faith because they don't know the answers to the top six and most common questions that people have.
We're gonna cover these tonight on TV at 5 o'clock. But I want to ask you this. If there's a God in the world, Nick, how could he possibly let a child be born without arms and legs and go through what you went through as a child?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I believe it's worse being in a broken home than having no arms and legs. Let's just get that straight number one, we can't compare each other's brokenness. Number two, though, we know that sickness, disease, and death and uncomfortability to our existence didn't happen until sin came into the world. And that's when people say, well, then why did God allow the serpent in the Garden of Eden? And the answer is very simple. How unfair God would be to make Adam and Eve with free choice, yet never let them hear anybody else but his voice. If he never allowed the serpent in the Garden of Eden to actually say the contrary to what God said, then do they really have free choice or not? Mm-hmm. Therein they chose. And we know that there is a lion devouring, killing, destroying, and his name is Satan, and he knows his days are numbered, and he's going around and destroying the world. And the bottom line, the Bible says, Glenn, very clear, black and white, we know that Jesus is coming back when all the gospel has been preached to all the four corners of the earth. And when I was in front of Billy Graham in 2011, he said, Nick, we don't have to preach down other religions, just preach the gospel. The gospel is powerful enough. And Bible says, my people perish because they don't have knowledge. I also think it's Christians who are losing their faith because they don't grow in knowledge. They think, well, now I'm a Christian and now, you know, God's going to bless me and that's it. No, are you serious? It's about us being on the front line of God's army, ambassadors, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I'm a man without arms and legs, being the hands and feet of Jesus, standing in front of the gates of hell and redirecting traffic. If God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, God can use any willing heart.
Kind of have this answer down.
I love you.
I'm so glad that you're here, especially, you know, this week where we've been talking about Down syndrome, and on the day that we mark the life of an exceptional man, of Stephen Hawking. And, you know, I see God's blessings and glory. Not that he wants anybody to suffer, but I see his glory through Stephen Hawking. He was wasting his life until he realized, I may not have very much time, and it changed him fundamentally. How it changes us is up to us. We'll talk some more this afternoon on The Blaze TV. The name of the book, Be the Hands and Feet, Living Out God's Love for All of His Children.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I got to tell you, I one of my favorite guests is Nick Vujicic. I think he is. Does he make you feel like, you know, I mean, here's a guy who has no arms and no legs. And I mean, I bet he exercises more than I do. He's in better shape than I am. And,
well, has he ever exercised? Because then, yes, he's exercised more than you do.
And he's just, he's so inspiring. If you think you can't do it, have you met Nick? I mean, it's just, it's amazing what people can do when they put their minds to it, and they partner with a higher power. By the way, he's going to be speaking tonight in Dallas at the Fellowship Bible Church. That's a 9330 North Central Expressway. Just go to fellowshipdallas.org. He's going to speak at 7 o'clock tonight, fellowshipdallas.org. He is remarkable as a speaker, one of the most powerful speakers that you'll hear. All right, let's talk a little bit about what happened in Pennsylvania last night.
Yeah, a special election, and it is very close. They haven't actually, I mean, we don't know for sure who's won yet. The Democrat in the race has a lead of, I think it's like 500 or 600 votes. Mm-hmm. It's very close. And they still have a few votes to count, though it looks highly unlikely there's enough to count that the Republican would come back and win. That being said,
how many dead people voted?
I don't know. That's going to be calculated later.
I like to know male, female, dead. That's what I'd like to
you
break it out.
You skipped like 90 genders there. When
I know.
You said
I'm
that.
Sorry.
That
I'm sorry. Rude. I'm sorry.
But, you know, who wins is sort of lesser importance.
Yes.
Here, first of all, they're redoing all these districts anyway. They're redrawing them. So the whoever wins here will only hold the job until November. So it's not that big of a deal as of, you know, of who wins. It's one vote, and it's going to expire very soon.
But
But it's, you know, the bigger point here is there's a large trend going on. This is not a one-off election. What we're seeing here are districts won by Donald Trump by large margins are becoming competitive here. And, you know, every midterm sucks for the president. I mean, it's a long-term rule that, you know, the party of the president that is in power has a really tough time in these midterm elections.
Because I think as people, we like the balance of power. We like to keep the person in check.
Yeah, we kind of push back. I mean, this happened, if you remember, with Obama, the Tea Party.
It happened with Bush too, didn't it?
Yeah, if you go back. So if you kind of go back and look at how far this has gone. I mean, 2014 was a wave election for Republicans with Barack Obama as president coming off his 2012 win. 2010 was the Tea Party wave coming off of Barack Obama's first win. 2006, off of Bush's reelection, was a huge wave for Democrats. 1998, I'm going to go back to 2002 here in a second. 1998, 1994 followed that same pattern. 2002 is the only exception.
That's September 11th.
It was right after September 11th.
Yeah. Where, you know, Bush had hit later.
Bush had hit an 81% approval rating at one point among Democrats. George W. Bush.
Think of that.
Think of that. An 81% approval rating among Democrats. That's how much we came together after 9/11.
Let me tell you something, though. I mean, maybe it's just me. You know, there is something to be said about, you know, coming together at, you know, a time of crisis, et cetera, et cetera. But we had low expectations for George W. Bush. He was kind of this goofy guy that you're like, okay, well, yeah, I know. He ran a baseball team and his dad was president. You kind of had low expectations for him. And when he stepped up on 9/11, he was the man.
Yeah.
I mean, he handled that flawlessly, flawlessly, at least in the public. You can disagree with his policies,
yeah,
but his first year, he was the leader.
Yeah. And everyone pretty much agreed on that for a while. A lot of that was just a statement, I think, of patriotism in a way.
Yeah.
Of people just saying, look, I mean, look, we're under attack here.
Yeah.
But
although I don't remember having to say or hearing anyone say, oh, you're against the president. Well, then you're against America. You're a traitor. Yeah. I don't remember. There was
that was a big left. You know, like a lot of people on the left said that. Like, I'm tired. Remember the Hillary thing? I'm tired of people saying that you disagree with this president. You're not patriotic. And that whole thing, that voice thing that she did.
I loved it.
Worked really well for her, by the way.
But it made me think, I don't want Indians from India to be successful. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. Nor does anyone else.
That will make black people have like voting rights and things like that. And so it didn't work for me because that's what I thought of every time I heard that.
It's amazing about that. You're referring to the recent comments by Hillary Clinton and while she was in India. And that makes you upset, right? Like it annoys you, right? Mm-hmm. You're angry maybe about her saying those things about you. You know who's more angry about it?
Democrats.
They want her to go inside of a hermetically sealed, you know, cavern somewhere
hide.
Just hide forever is what they want because they think, I mean, and look, they've got some good evidence to back this up. If you have one special election, you can very easily say, well, that candidate sucked. This is a weird district, you know, whatever. What you're seeing so far is there's been 8 special elections since Donald Trump took over. Okay. And you can blame this on a million things, but I'm just saying that's the time period. 8 special elections. Here are the results, the swing from Donald Trump's vote and the partisan lean to what we saw in the special elections. Plus 18 for Democrats, plus 23 for Democrats, plus 16 for Democrats, plus 6 for Democrats. Plus 16 for Democrats, plus 3 for Democrats, plus 31 for Democrats, and plus 22 for Democrats. They've improved their standing in every single race by an average of about 17 points. Now, there has not been, if you look back at the average swing in these midterm elections, there's nothing, the only one that's even close to that is 2006, where the Democrats improved their standing by 15 points. But as we just noted, that was in comparison to the election right after September 11th. So the Republicans held a lot more seats than they would have normally been expected to hold in a midterm election because of that aftermath of September 11th. And so the improvement in 2006 was more dramatic for Democrats. This is
still less than what we've seen so far on average with these special elections. It does not mean that this is going to for sure, you know, a lot can change in a year, but Republicans are really freaking out. Doesn't matter who wins that election, really. It's about, you know, 6 months of voting in one seat. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, you know, it really isn't. The big deal there is that this pattern is become very consistent in these special elections. And Republicans, they're talking about now this is going to potentially affect people retiring. We've already seen an almost record number of retirements. And you're talking about people who are promising candidates who will say, maybe I'll skip this one and come back next time. And you're in a real danger of losing the House. The Senate is, the map is so strongly favored to Republicans, it would take a mega disaster for them to lose the Senate. But the House is really in danger at this point. You know, this is a district, if you don't know it, that was a 20-point victory for Donald Trump. But it wasn't just a Trump district. It was a 17-point victory for Mitt Romney against Barack Obama, who was a much stronger candidate than Hillary Clinton. I mean, they ran against each other. We all found that out. And this is a 22-point swing in just a year. So you can look at this, I think, fairly and say, well, it doesn't mean for sure Republicans are going to lose. They still have a chance. A lot of things can happen. But two things you should point out here. Number one, you have to realize this is you're in trouble here. If you are the Republicans and you want to hold the House, and again, this means you're talking potential impeachment talk. You're talking all sorts of things can happen if you lose that House. They'll go after him. They'll go after Trump immediately. Not to mention you won't get anything passed. So that is number one. Realize that the House is legitimately
in trouble.
And that is it's not a minor thing. It's a big thing. And so, number two, if I may quickly.
Yeah.
Treat this year as if LeBron James just told you he's going to retire. And you're the Cavs, and you're thinking to yourself, we better go get every free agent and try to do everything this year, because next year we're going to win 5 games. This, you have another, what is it? It's March. Mm-hmm. You've got 8 months to get anything done that you have the chance to get done. You should treat it that way. Maybe you'll win the House and hold on to it. But you should treat the next 8 months as if it is your utter maximum priority to get everything done that you think you can get done. Because you very well may lose the opportunity to get anything passed in eight months. And then I guess you have until they get seated. So 10 months. This is you do not have a big window here. This is legitimately in danger of going away. So the more you screw around with the little controversies, more you screw around with, you know, with everybody fighting with each other. That is just eating away at your time to actually get something passed. And that is mostly a conversation to have, not with the president, but with the House. You better start passing things.
Okay, so will you do me a favor? And I'd like you to look at the stats and tell me where those swings are if you're starting to see more of the old-style conservative Democrat, blue dog Democrat. Is that starting to pop up at all?
This is one of the things they're talking about in this election, and that Republicans' defense here is that Conor Lamb, the Democrat, he was basically just a Republican. The guy ran as a Republican. I mean, he's just a Republican, and of course they won. I mean, you tell me, I don't know what a Republican is anymore, so I'll start with that. I have no freaking idea. But the guy was against the tax cuts, said they were a big giveaway to the wealthy. He's for new gun laws. Like that go further than Manchin to me. So I mean, again, he calls himself pro gun. And you know, he didn't come out as like Bernie Sanders actually used to be pro gun. He didn't come out as Nancy Pelosi on guns. Right. He came out as like, you know, I'm a sensible Democrat. We need new restrictions, but you know, universal background checks, further than Manchin to me went. He supports the tariffs. Now, again, I don't know if that's a Republican position. I guess it is now. I don't know. He's pro-choice, and he is against not only just pro-choice, but against the 20-week abortion ban. So it's not like, I mean, 20-week abortion ban.
Moderate.
You're talking 75% of Americans agree with a 20-week abortion ban. So the idea that this guy is some Republican they ran in this district is bullcrap. It's bullcrap. Donald Trump won some Democrats, you know, in these Rust Belt states. But again, Mitt Romney won by basically the same margin. This was not like a big, you know, union victory for Donald Trump in this district. And again, he was also super pro-union, this guy, this candidate. So you telling me that's a Republican? I don't think so. That is just a huge move. Again, elections are largely exercises in feelings. It's how people feel. These policies mean less and less every single time we go to the booth.
And I think if they feel that this is a common sense Democrat, the policies don't matter. All right, every business needs great people, and there's a great way to find them. It's with ZipRecruiter. I want you to try this at ziprecruiter.com/Beck. It's free. So, you know, you can find jobs the way you normally do, or you can just go post them online or go up to HR or whatever. But this is something that companies the size of mine and below and all the way up to Fortune 100 companies use ZipRecruiter. And what they do is the first thing they did when they first came out was just post on all of the job sites with a single click, which would save you a ton of time. That's not good enough. Now they have made ZipRecruiter smart to where it actually learns what you're looking for and then goes out and searches and then finds the best candidates, and it highlights the best candidates after it's invited everybody, you know, hey, did you see this job? You need to apply for this job. As those applications come in, it highlights them so you don't miss them. You know that ZipRecruiter, which is taking the time to learn what you're looking for, has taken it and said, that is a great candidate. Make sure you interview them before you do anything else. ZipRecruiter, it's how you find the great employees of the future. It's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Try it for free. Check it out yourself today. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So Facebook comments on today's program, just to wrap up, Janet McClellan wrote in and said, you know, people are saying that they're forbidding students their exercise of their free First Amendment rights. They're forbidding them to leave class. There's a big difference. The protest is scheduled to take place on a school day during hours that the schools are required to. The students are required to be in class. Any other school day or time would be perfectly fine. And I love this. This is from Michelle. They should hold the protest on Saturday or after school hours to see where the feelings from these students about gun control really lie. And it's true. Why is this during school? Why isn't this at 3 o'clock? Why isn't this at 5 o'clock during rush hour? Oh, really clogged things up. Oh, because they're not going to go. A lot of them will. A lot of them won't.
Exactly. You're always going to get increased turnout when you
get out of class.
Yeah, get out of class.
Okay, do you know the story about the person that won the lottery, and they're saying, no, they didn't come forward for a long time. Then they filed a lawsuit and said, I don't want my my likeness or my name used. I don't want anybody to know. And the judge has ruled that they can remain anonymous. This is great from Andrea Baxter, a listener of ours. Andrea Baxter, I feel kind of bad for her, though, because she'll never get to meet her long-lost cousin, Andrea Baxter. You know what this is? You know what this is? This is we may be witnessing the first lottery winner that may end up in 20 years having the cash.
Yes.
You know?
If you're going into it, you know, thinking that way, you probably are going to protect the cash.
Yeah, you're thinking, I don't want to be known. Well, then if you don't want to be known, unless you're going to move, you're not going to live large. You know, you're going to be sensible. This might be the very first lottery winner who we'll all want to know, because they'll be the only ones that, you know, aren't laying in a gutter in 5 years going, I used to be somebody.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.